Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine others, still reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Tuck and try, we're gonna get on this mother trucker and we're all gonna die. Blood and pain, it's the world we've come from, it's where we're going, it's where we're gonna come back to, and all that other stuff too. But the world is a mega place with all kinds of individual... Hey, Mark just mentioned stuff about Purgatory, Lady Death, and Dawn, and Vampirella. I did them. That completely derailed me. Gosh darn it. Gosh, sons of guns and stuffs and stuff. Well, now I'm just blown.
I just watched you wad up that paper and throw it.
What paper?
The little list of what you were about to spill.
You know it's all random, right? And I just make it up as I go.
You know, nobody else knew that until you said that.
Yeah, I don't... Maybe I have like three words written down on a notepad or a note sticky on the screen, and that's about it. I just maybe say one. The only one thing I wanted, like for example, in tonight's, the only one I wanted to say was "Blood and Pain." The world is blood and pain. It's a reference to a movie I saw this weekend. But I want to know what Mark's talking about here. Who did Purgatory, Lady Death, Dawn, or Vampirella? Well, Purgatory and Lady Death were done by Brian Polito. Dawn was done by J. Michael Linsner, and Vampirella was done by a whole crapload of people, including one of my favorite guys, Joe Jesko.
Uh-huh.
So there. Meow. Ding, 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 ding. This tonight's show is going to focus and fixate mostly on one specific movie, but I'll leave that till the last.
Warning, there is a bunch of spoiler alerts.
Warning, I am going to spoiler alert like a son of a gun with a trucker and a half. And that's a lot.
Only half a trucker?
No, a trucker and a half.
Right, I'm just trying to figure out how that half trucker got in there.
Have you never seen a pup trailer?
I have, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. And those are actually pretty cool. Well, I've seen some newer designs that are pretty cool.
Containers are 20-foot and 40-foot. Full trailer is your standard size truck, and a half trailer is a 20-foot.
Yeah, yeah.
I know these things. I'm in logistics, man. I move stuff from place to place and to places from one to place, etc.
If you ever want to know how to make a body disappear, contact ZZ.
Speaking of which, no body, no crime.
Bingo!
I love that line. Okay, tonight's show is going to be all spoiler alert, so anybody who's listening who does not want to get a spoiler alert, put it on pause, come back in a week or two after you've watched the movies or shows or whatever it is, and then listen and go, "Ow! Why did he say that?" Gotham. I am not really all that whole enigma with the whole, hey, look, he's going to be Riddler. That's fine. But I really didn't like his whole little mental epiphany. It's like, oh, I'm really a bad guy now. I don't know.
Well, the thing about him is, you know, I kind of thought he was crazy in the first place. I just didn't think he would... I just didn't see how he was going to fit in as a Riddler, and still I don't see it.
See, I get it. See, he's made his first criminal act, and it was an accident, but it was also a crime of passion. So it's like, well, you could argue it one way or the other. It's like, oh, I was just trying to be helpful and protect her. I didn't mean to stab the guy 14 times.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. It's just... There's going to be some... next season... Well, you already know that What's-Her-Name's not coming back.
Which What's-Her-Name?
Fish? Yeah. Fish Mooney, but I was trying to think of her...
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Thank you. That's the name I was trying to go with.
I keep forgetting that she's a Smith.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a sec. I actually like her in general as an actress, but then I keep forgetting, wait, she's a Smith.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, but she is far from Will Smith. She is whole different person.
Well, yeah, but she's a Smith.
Yeah.
It's kind of a joke, you know?
Well, that's true, and that's, it's kind of like saying that, and that's a Kennedy. Mm-hmm.
Don't know any Kennedys. Wait, I do know a couple of Kennedys.
See?
Yeah, okay, I'm not going there. But, here's the thing. Gotham. I love that show. I love that show to death.
Unfortunately, Daredevil blew it out of the waters, but I still love Gotham.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Daredevil's totally addictive right now.
You haven't watched it at all?
Oh, I have. Shoot, okay. I watched it before you finished it. Remember, you told me no spoiling it.
Uh-huh. That's fine. So?
And I'll binge watch the next one when it comes out.
And I will probably too. But, moving on, Batman, Gotham. I love a lot of the layers, and some of the things that I really didn't like in the last episode is like, what the hell happened to Selina Kyle? When the hell did she become a thug? What? When did I miss this?
Well, see, I've always gotten her as being like the little Miss Innocent, don't mess with me type. Well, not, you don't mess with me, but I'll do anything you say, yes, boss, no, boss, whatever type thing. And then when she finally has her psychotic break and becomes Catwoman, then, yeah, she's a whole different person. I just never saw that. I never could see that side of her in any rendition of who she was.
The only one version that you have where Catwoman becomes psychotic break was in the second Batman movie with Michael Keaton. That's it. The regular Batman series, it isn't a psychotic break. It's a history of life moving forward where she just then becomes a wee bit more.
Well, and yeah, kind of like saying, enough's enough, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And that's what I get out of it.
But that's not a psychotic break. I mean, in Michelle Pfeiffer version of Catwoman, she falls off a top of a roof. She's like, goes through a mental blah. It's like, what the? And she becomes Catwoman. The regular Catwoman character was, okay, she's always been a petty... the Gotham had that right. She's always been like a petty thief living on the street, an orphan, never really cared for or loved for or anything like that, except whatever. And then she just keeps becoming the cat burglar. It just becomes a natural evolution of her character.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, for her to just suddenly, in this show, become a follower of Fishes is kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just, like I said, there's some directions. I don't know where they're going with it or why they're going this direction. Yeah,
and she's got all the makeup on all of a sudden. It's like, wait a sec. What? She got prettified. She's carrying a gun. She never did that in the whole show. You know?
Yeah.
But I did get a kick out of her and Bruce dancing at the charity thing. That was funny.
She still remains friends, or I don't know, she kind of seems to have a romantic interest in him.
Well, part of the comic book has had that as a on and on again, off again type romance thing with them all the time.
And I have to make Mark comment on Mark's thing. I have to agree. Ursula Kitt was one of the best Catwomen. Eartha Kitt, sorry. That's what I get for reading and talking the same thing. But yeah, Eartha Kitt was like the best Catwoman in my book.
I absolutely adored Eartha Kitt as the Catwoman. She was fantastic.
A lot of people are saying that, Julie Newmar was one.
Newmar was one I liked too.
Yeah, I've heard there's a big debate between those two Catwomen.
There's also a big debate between that Catwoman and that one.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Pfeiffer and Halle Berry.
Now, see, if
Halle... the Halle Berry Catwoman, just, no, that doesn't exist.
No, I know, but if that character was really redone in a Batman movie where they did the justice of Catwoman, I think Halle Berry would have totally fit the suit.
I disagree completely, 100%.
You don't think she could have done it?
No.
Hmm.
Not even close.
I think she would have fit the suit.
She fit the suit she had. She's a very attractive woman. She's got awesome standards to go on her own. She's a horrible Catwoman. That movie is horrible, horrible, horrible. You can only watch that movie with the sound off. If you actually enjoy watching that movie with the sound on, there is something seriously wrong with you.
Sadly, I only saw it once. I cannot remember the entire movie, so I don't feel bad about not remembering it.
I saw all of 10 minutes of the movie and had to turn it off, and I don't do that.
Mm.
Catwoman is in my top 10 movies of worst of all time.
No, I would have to agree with you on that.
Because it's a horribly done movie.
If a movie stands out in my head, it was a really good movie. In this case, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, no, Catwoman was horrible. Horrible, horrible movie. But I really, really did like What's-Her-Face's rendition in the last Batman movie.
Oh, yes. God, I forgot her name.
I can't remember her name. Jack will throw it out in the chat room, I'm sure, somewhere. But yeah. She was actually really good. I was impressed with her because she kept the essence and the feel of it without being too over the top and without being too underwhelming. Like,
wait, she was
Halle Berry was underwhelming and trying to make it look weird.
She's a strong character. And knowing her from some of the girly movies I've seen, I just didn't think she was going to be able to pull off the strong character.
Well, I was fairly confident she was going to be able to pull off the character. I just didn't know how the character was going to go. Because the character she played in the, what the hell was it? The Alice in Wonderland movie she was in. Yeah, Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp and a few others where she played the White Queen.
No, Anne Hathaway, thank you.
Anne Hathaway, yes, that's it, now that you've mentioned it. She played, what, the crazy queen of some sort? She was perfect in that role.
Yeah.
She had that face that was very expressive. It's like, look, I'm crazy. Don't you know I'm crazy? But you know what? I'm still going to be crazy anyways. Crazy. She pulled that off awesomely.
Yeah.
So I was pretty sure she was going to be able to do a Catwoman. I didn't know she was that athletic, though. So I was very happy about that.
She had some good moves in there, yeah.
So now we're going to move it along to something else.
Move.
Apparently we've seen a movie and we both watched it around the rough same time. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
Maggie. So I posted online, oh my god, they got me to watch a tearjerker movie. They did by promising me Arnie and zombies. So I got those, but then I got a tearjerker movie too. It's like, what the fudge?
Well, okay.
Okay, let me preface all that. That was me being jokey. I actually really like the movie. I'm not a tearjerker kind of guy movie, but it's like, okay, I could see that applied in very many potential situations for people going through life situations where it's like, oh, look, stuff happens and it's like horrible, but you got to do what you got to do. And I thought it was a really well-done movie. I loved Arnold in this. And by the way, we're talking about Arnold as in Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he didn't talk much. Did you notice that?
I noticed that, but that's because probably they didn't want to get the whole, hey, his accent is way too heavy and it's kind of overwhelming. And it's like, how do you have a guy like that in a small town like this? But I still like the way he did it. I mean, he had some of the very expressive moments on his face. Spoiler alerts, people, when the daughter comes over and you think, oh my God, she's going to eat his head.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
just bends down to give him a kiss on the head. And he's like, then she walks away and his eyes pop open. It's like, yeah, you knew. Because you could see the one thing where his hand's clenching on the shotgun. You knew. He just wanted to make sure she wasn't going to eat his brain.
Well, she was sniffing him for a while. I mean,
she was.
And smelling him. One thing about this movie that I thought was really interesting and a really good take on the zombies was the evolution between, you know, coming out of, you know, humanity into the realm of zombies. And you could actually see that when they're like, what's dad cooking? You know, or the other kid, you know, oh, I can smell him.
I can smell him. I don't want to smell him. He's the one line the doctor said, well, first, she's going to be hungry. Then she's not going to be very hungry.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, she's going to be hungry for something else. And then she's just going to be hungry. That was hilarious. No, I agree. I like how the whole idea was that the zombies were not an instantaneous conversion over. It was a process that took time. Mm-hmm. Because the two things they don't explain is, A, how did the disease start? So was it whatever biological thing released, blah, 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 and all that other stuff? And then the other thing they don't explain is, why the hell did she run off to the city where the infected were strongest?
That's the other part I couldn't understand, and that's apparently where she got bit. So
well, yes, I mean, they show it a little bits and pieces in flashback when she's waking up from dreams and stuff, but mm-hmm. she leaves the message at the beginning, I love you, Daddy. I'm going to the city. Why? The guy she liked stayed at home. He got infected, but he stayed at home.
Yeah. See, I think the other part about this, what would be the realistic side towards zombies would be the fact that, you know, people would not be wanting to give up their loved ones.
Well,
know.
That's been played out pretty well in Walking Dead as well. And I see that because a lot of people are going to hold on to that fiction as like, yeah, we can still save them. There's going to be a cure. It's like, are you shitting me? There's no cure. Once you're a zombie, you're a zombie. That's all there is to it. Arr. But I like the one scene where Schwarzenegger shows up at his neighbor's place and is just sitting there. It's like, like you said, doesn't say anything. You just can see the emotions in his eyes walking around in his face and just walking through the room. This is where she lived. This is where they chained her up. This is where he came in and scribbled on the side wall. It's like, and you know, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, oh, crap, I'm going to do this, aren't I?
You know, and that's kind of where I expected the movie to go, not the twist that it had at the end there.
Yeah, we won't give that one away for anybody. We can watch the movie. Yeah, no, I really liked the movie. It was like one of these emotional roller coaster type movies. You know what's going to happen. Everybody's got to die. Well, no, okay, not everybody dies. I just throw that in to screw with people. But like I said,
you give them, you tell them, oh my God, this spoiler, and everybody's waiting for that scene, and they come back later. I hate you. That was never in the movie.
I've done that to people. I will do that to people in the future because they deserve it. I give everybody free choice. Do you want me to tell you what happens in the movie? Yes. Then I will tell you what happens in the movie. Do you want me to tell you what happens in the movie? No. Then I won't.
Right. But now that it's a good thing we don't give them every detail because...
Well, if you're going to review movies, you can't give away everything. You got to give away some meat and let people see and feel it for themselves and enjoy it. I think this was a great art house type movie. It was not designed to be a big budget blockbuster.
Right. Because of the scenes, you know, you can obviously tell whatever set they're on, it's just really centered right there. They're not trying to take it too far out.
Yeah, I mean, this is all like probably they did this in a couple of days.
Now, I have to ask this question. You could probably, without me going back and searching every single episode up to this point.
First one.
In the scenes of the ravaged cities, wasn't one of those shots a shot from The Walking Dead?
Don't think so.
Sure looked like it.
It's not that hard to make Atlanta look like a barren wasteland. It's not that hard to make most major cities look like a barren wasteland.
But, I mean, I think if they pay a good enough amount of money, they could probably say, can we have this one scene? It won't be long. It'll be really quick, you know, and then they give them the, you know, oh, yeah, okay, go ahead and use it.
They could, but why would they?
I mean, especially if it's not for that much money, it really saves on, you know, production costs.
No, I think it would actually be detrimental to the movie if they had done that. I mean, I'm sure Walking Dead people say, yeah, you want to put that in the scene? Go ahead! But why would the filmmakers of Maggie even think of asking them? It's a different kind of zombie movie.
No, it definitely was a different kind of zombie movie.
I mean, this movie is all about human interaction and emotional connection and disconnect and people and just people being people. This movie wasn't about, hey, let's have a whole bunch of zombies running all over the place, even though there were a couple. This movie is more, hey, what if the zombie curse thing that we're talking about was actually a euphemism for something else, which is what I think they originally went with the premise. Because the zombie plague has been used for a whole crapload of stuff over the last little while to say, hey, let's get people interested in stuff. Hey, our emergency response plan is, it's actually in case of a zombie apocalypse. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is this one, and I asked you this on Facebook, and I'm going to bring it out on the air now. What was the deal with all the thunder?
It was a dark and stormy apocalypse, like I said.
There was no rain, but boy, there sure was a lot of thunder in this film.
It's called making a dramatic effect. It's called setting the mood, setting the stage, creating a... by the way, if you didn't know, Spoon is Jack.
I kind of figured that.
Okay, because see, of everybody on the post when I posted on Facebook, he's the one that got the whole thing that I was mentioning.
But you do know there's a show on the station called The Spoon, too, right?
Yes, I've heard that before.
Yeah, they air tomorrow.
Well, good for them. Because today is today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day, and it never actually comes.
Oh.
But, back to Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought... Oh, yes, so... calling the zombie plague in the movie is like giving a parallel to, hey, people who suffer cancer. Look at this as the kind of thing that families that have to actually... Oh, we know that Johnny Boy is going to be passing away in 2 weeks. What do? We get very sad. and we have this whole time thing. And that whole parallel imagery there was like, whoa, dude. So much sad.
But it
happens in real life all the time.
But there was one other thing that they kind of rolled into, which made me stop and think, too, where this could have really started with. Do you remember they kept making... Wait, am I thinking the right film? Yeah, nope. I should be thinking the right film. They kept telling them to burn the crops. Is that the right film?
You thought about Interstellar, didn't you?
No, not Interstellar.
Because in Interstellar, they do that.
No, it's a different movie. Yeah, it's a different movie. Never mind. Scratch that.
Wait, no. There is a line in the Maggie movie that says, burn your crops.
Okay, so then I was right.
Yeah.
They were having issues with stuff growing, and then he showed... Yeah, okay, yeah. Because he showed her the flower bed.
Yes. They were using that as part of the explanation as far as what the root cause was for the zombie virus. Mm-hmm. They couldn't actually come out and say anything or whatever, so they just sort of threw that in as a random thing. It's like, we don't know what's causing it, but we think maybe it's something to do with the vegetables. You notice if your stuff is getting all dry and prickly and it's not supposed to, burn them all.
Right.
It's like, it's kind of a lame explanation as to where the zombie virus came from, so ahead.
They were just kind of keeping that thrown in the air, so people were like, well, I don't get it, you know?
Yeah. But, well, no, they threw in random things there that had absolutely nothing to do with anything. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a big kick out of Vern. He was the doctor.
Yes.
Don't. Okay. You know what? If you want my advice, use that. Don't use this.
Yes.
It's like, it'll be quicker.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. So much expressions and faces and stuff. It was like one of these like movies where you read people's faces and stuff.
Well, see, Arnold, this is the thing about Arnold. He can do emotions, and he really...
He gets the eye moving going... I'm mad now. Sad now. I'm happy now. No, but I'm mad.
They're through most of it, and you're like, well, do we expect Arnold to be Arnold, or what's about to happen? You know, you just can't tell which, and then you start seeing it, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, because, I mean, you keep expecting to say, Gatura Chapa! And I was like, no, it's a completely serious movie.
Yeah.
The one scene where the cop tackles him, I thought for sure he's just going to pound the crap out of him. It's like, no, it's going to be like a fight. And it's like, oh, okay, there's a fight.
I was really surprised that didn't turn into a heavier fight than what I expect.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to expect that a state trooper is going to be well trained on how to take somebody down who's bigger than him. And he did. He went straight in for the lower body mass and took him down. So
for a reason, though. I mean, that was... Huh? That was uncalled for. He should never have done that.
Well, I agree, but you got to remember, cops are people too. Sometimes they can be pricks. Most of them aren't, but some of them can be.
Yeah.
You notice his partner was like, "Okay, dude, cut it off. Back in here, just taking care of things."
Had the one hand on the gun. He's like, "Don't make me use this.
Obviously, he's got a job to do as well, and he's like, "Okay, do I shoot the guy who I know and have been friends with for a long time, or do I let my buddy suffer? Ooh, this is going to be a tough one."
Yeah.
You can see that going through his head. He's like, calculating. What's the right one?
Let me roll the dice on this one. Shoot, I don't know what to do. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't so bad. I really was impressed that, you know, the direction they went with it, because I didn't know whether I should have been expecting a typical Arnold movie or, you know, a Walking Dead.
That's why I think Arnold took this movie to do.
Yeah.
He wanted to start setting expectations like, yes, he can do a real acting job. He's not just a one-line king. He's not just a big man with whatever. He's old, man. He's got to start picking movies that he can actually do that doesn't require jumping through a tight wire and diving over a cliff sort of stuff.
I'm trying to think. Last Stand is the name of the movie, the last one that I saw him in.
I haven't watched it yet. I got it over there to watch.
It wasn't bad. I was impressed.
I picked it up for $10 from Target when they went out of business.
It's not your typical Arnold movie. It's a sheriff who has to defend his town. But
right.
It did have the action and the bang in there and then the fight scenes. But he pulled off the thing about that when at the end of each fight scene, he pulled it off as, okay, I'm tired. And he showed his exhaustion of what he would be after an actual fight. So you kind of felt the realism in there.
Okay. So now we're moving over to something else.
Oh, yes.
We're moving over to Kingsman.
Mm-hmm.
Which you haven't seen yet.
No, I haven't.
And you want to see. So I'm not going to spoil too much of it for you. But there's a scene in this movie that absolutely made me howl with laughter, and I'm surprised my neighbors didn't come over and say, what the f... It was... It's a do-do-do-do-do, movie's going along, action's going on, do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do, and then she just does this. It's like, what? Oh my god, that's hilarious! I just busted myself laughing out loud.
You busted a gut.
I busted two of them. We both left and right.
Yeah, it was duct taped night after that.
That's right, I had to duct tape my butt to get her again. But this movie has, what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes.
As a, what's the word for it off the top of my head? Well, he's squeamish about the sight of blood, yet he's the bad guy. And he kills a lot of people, not himself. He has other people do it. Okay. And he has a lisp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a notable lisp. And it's funny as hell. It's like, you're expecting Samuel Jackson. It's like, tough mother trucker kind of terminology talking that he does all the time. And he talks with a lisp and doesn't say a single bad word in the entire freaking movie.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
That's unusual for him, though.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the perfect counterfoil to most of the movies you're used to. You're expecting him to go into type. You're expecting him to drop into that character that we always see him doing and all this other stuff. And then it's like, wow, that's neat. So this is like a very James Bond-esque type movie, but each of those James Bond, hey, he's going to save the day and do-do-do, it turns out differently.
Yeah.
They even mention it twice in the movie. It's not that kind of movie.
Oh, they actually use it
in the line? They actually use that line twice in the movie. Sam says it, and then the one other main character guy says it in the movie. I was really impressed with the movie. I thought it was an awesome 2-hour movie. I didn't even see the 2 hours fly by.
Wow.
It's like, wow, this just zipping along. It's right. It's like, whoa, the movie's over. Whoa. But yeah, when you meet the Dutch princess the second time, mm-hmm. Hilarious. I'm just saying. Just saying.
All right, I know you got a third one. But before you get there, let me get my one in.
Go ahead, because right after that, we're going into to intermezzo.
So, sure. I actually watched Oz the Great and Powerful. We were kind of talking as pre-show about it. And to be honest with you, that really wasn't a bad movie after all. Like, I was expecting this not-so-great movie, and it actually gave me a surprise. You know, it turned out to be a lot better. You are not a fan of James Franco. But what was your comment about him on this film?
I didn't mind him in this movie.
Yeah.
I especially was surprised with What's-Her-Face, who played the Wicked Witch.
Oh, I know.
I was expecting this movie to end up being a joke. And then I was like, oh, this is actually not a bad take on The Wizard of Oz. All right.
And they leave it into a good point where it makes sense when you come into the actual original Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, this is basically a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, and that was the hard part for me to kind of gather. Now, the one part I did crack up laughing at, and I could totally see you just like, you know, running this into the ground, was the little porcelain girl.
I ain't saying nothing.
So I was right.
Oh, I had comments and thoughts to say, but I'm not gonna.
Of all the things they could have put together, Porcelain Girl. I mean,
that's like, in the books, man.
Really?
Everything in that movie is actually in the books. Because you've got to remember, Alice in Wonderland is not just that one book. There are other books about it leading up to and away from the Alice in Wonderland stuff. And what happens is there's a whole... the original movies that we're all used to, the whole 1929 Judy Garland movie or whatever the hell it was, that's only capturing a small part of the book.
Yeah, it wasn't a massive part. In fact, all the additional stuff they've done since then have actually been adaptions of each, apparently, chapters or extra books.
Yep. Did you know? Okay, so everybody knows about the Yellow Brick Road, right?
Right.
Where does the Red Brick Road go?
I still don't know.
I saw it on a post somewhere today, and somebody said, oh yeah, it goes over to this land over there. It's like, it's the land where Glinda, the Good Witch of the West or East, whatever the hell she's from, that's where she comes from.
I thought she was from the North.
Whatever. Anyway, from whatever land she comes from.
Well, because I know in one
don't
of the books...
Don't boil it with facts, man!
I know in one of the books they actually do say where the red brick road goes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is somebody actually replied to that. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Can't make that joke anymore.
Sure we can.
No, we'll still go with it.
Okay, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to get you an answer that's...
You're just driving me bonkers.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Bonkers.
Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Yeah, man,
in the floor now.
Back then.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Would be the movie song Bonkers by Dizzy Rascal and Armin Van Buuren, because it's like fun time music. And I mentioned it only because it was in the movie Kingsman. Now, for the big part of the whole show, the meat of the whole thing that we're going to be talking about, it's going to be... Oh man, why do I keep lapsing into Jar Jar Binks when I talk about stuff like this? Must stop that. Kill him. Kill him in my head so he doesn't come back from the dead. I hope you all have your spoiler hats on, because I know of at least one other person who's probably seen the movie in the chat room, and it's like, I'm hoping that many of you have seen it, because it did have... We're talking about Pitch Perfect 2.
Really? You I don't think you win.
I wanted to see who'd get conned into believing that.
Of all the films that I would think you would not go watch, that's one of them.
We're back, pitches! I love the tagline. That's a great tagline. We're back, pitches. That's an awesome tagline. Because it's the whole thing about Pitch Perfect, and it's all about, hey, they have pitches to the club and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's fun. But what's really the reason why I mentioned that one is because I can't believe how it beat out Mad Max for a box office take for opening weekend.
Now, that was a shock, but then they did get a huge following after the first film, so...
But it's a date night movie.
Yes, I have to agree, and if you've
ever... I can totally see that movie being popular on Sunday, but not Saturday.
Yeah, if you've ever heard the saying, happy wife, happy life...
Yes, I've heard that saying, and I still think it's trite and demeaning and unnecessarily gauche.
But you know what? Guys will make sure their girls are happy. And then they'll be like, we're going to go watch this later.
Yes, because you see, all the guys go to see the Mad Max. And there was a lot of women in the theater as well, so I'm not going to say it's a guy versus men thing. Because we're going to talk about that too! I'm going to say flat out, one of the best freaking movies this year. Absolutely stone cold. Definitely 100% my favorite movie of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, flat out, ain't nothing come beating it.
You say so far.
I say so far because I can only expect one other movie that might come close to beating it.
Which
and
is?
That's it. Star Wars is the only other movie this year that might even come close to beating this.
I have a feeling it might.
I have a feeling it won't.
That's a wait and see.
Well, exactly. It's going to be a wait and see thing. Mad Max is what I would call one of the most perfect freaking movies possible.
Right.
It has a simple premise. It is not complicated by way too much CG. It is not complicated by way too much, hey, what the hell's going on, all this stuff. It is a very simple movie.
Okay, now if you're going by what you just described, then I'm sorry, Star Wars won't match up.
Well, exactly.
Because you know Star Wars is going to be a lot of CGI. It's going to be a lot of complication, you know, backstory catching up to this story type thing.
Exactly. I mean, Star Wars is going to put layers of stuff into this, like, okay, really? I need that explained? No. But the one thing, and I was just talking about this on Facebook a little while ago with somebody, is what Mad Max does is there are actual tons of layers of stuff in there. Like, tons. Things that's like, that's a whole... Somebody put a lot of thought into why did they have to do that? Why was that? Where was the meaning and purpose for this? And they don't explain it. Like, there is nothing explained in the movie. They don't explain why are the many mothers... where they are. Why are the war boys the way that they are? Who came up with the idea of blood bags? Where are all these things from? They don't explain a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all these layers of cultural development in the movie that are, if you've been 30 years living in an apocalyptic environment where there's no water, there's no oil, there's everything else, and you have to try and struggle just to survive, and then you find this enclave of society that has decided to create its own mini world cosmos thing in there, in the corner there, and they survive. Not a very nice survive, but they're surviving. But there's no explanation as to how it got that way.
Right.
Most movies, when they start out, they try giving you the backstory so that you understand, well, why did this happen? Why did these things get here? This movie starts out with, there's a big truck. It's going that way. And that's it. All right.
Direction they're going to.
They're going that way. Oh, by the way, let's change the storyline. She's now going that way. All right. So that's the whole story. And it's really just a chase movie.
Right.
It's like the guy, George Miller, the director, has said that he went into the making of this movie with one single directive for the movie. It's a chase movie. Gosh darn it, it's going to be a good chase movie, but all it is a chase movie. From start to end, that's it. It is action-packed. It is chock-full of visual goo-gahs, because I like that word, goo-gahs of stuff. things just happen all over the place. You have to pay attention to every square inch of the screen to see what's going on. You see guys in motorcycles flying over things over there. You see the guys running over here in the cars, and you see the guys on these big, huge poles going back and forth, going over the sides and stuff. And I'm sorry, but I gotta really spoil alert everybody for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I gotta spoil alert everybody for this one. There was a guy playing a guitar on there as well. I swear to God, it was the most perfect place for him to be. He's on a front platform of one of the vehicles driving out. And he's playing with a bank of big-ass speakers behind him. He's rocking it. It's part of the whole, okay, let's get everybody revved up and get going on the chase. We're all out. Because they have this bank of six guys and banging the drums. You know how in the olden days where they're rowing, and you have the banging the drum to beat the beat to the rowing?
Right.
Okay, so now imagine six guys in a long back in the back of a car, truck, whatever the hell it is, with huge-ass drums, which are amplified to power the speakers. Boom, 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 boom. And then you got the guy in the front of that truck playing the electric guitar with the blade slice on the end of the axe. It's awesome. It's like, okay, I wasn't expecting that, but there it is, and he works. All right? So, to give you an example of some of the layers it's going as well, is I mentioned the Many Mothers. That's a social group in the movie, something that some people had some problems with, but screw them. Later on, there's a moment where they're mourning somebody who's passed, and they have this gesture. The gesture makes perfect sense, right?
Right.
You have no idea what the hell it connected with. You have no idea where it comes from. You have no idea if it's a religious thing that somebody has come up with. It's not a Christian thing or a Muslim thing or anything else like that. It's just a gesture of a faith belief thing going forward that they all do all at once. There's no meaning giving to it. There's no definition giving to it. There's no explanation given to it. It's just a thing that happens. And in real life, when people get together and do things, and people who are part of a group, they don't explain why they sign of the cross or whatever religious thing you might want to use as a gesture. You don't explain it.
Right.
It just is.
But you kind of know already.
You do.
Yeah.
But if you're watching a movie, you know, it's just all of a sudden it's thrown at you and you get it. It's like, holy shit, yeah, that's what that means. The way the movie is done is you don't need to have it explained to you. Right?
Right.
So it's like it just develops naturally. You can see that a cultural development that's going this way would have this sort of thing. I mean, there are some really weird things there. It's like, why are they spray painting their face with chrome? There's a couple of scenes where the war dog... by the way, did you know that guy who played that war dog character was... What the hell was he in? Crap.
Well, you know, now I'm going to ask you this question because this is the part, you know, because everybody was eager for this movie to come out. Does it even pick up anywhere with the last Mad Max movies?
No. However, there's been a lot of buzz talking on about how they're saying that this Mad Max is actually the Wild Child from the second movie.
Really?
Who grew up and became this character. It's like, I don't really care, but there's a couple of things where, oh, okay, I could kind of, I guess, see that. He played Warm Dead. Warm Bodies.
But if they were going to lead to that, wouldn't they explain that?
No. They have picked up two other movies to be done, continuing the trilogy.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Continuing the franchise. One is supposed to be a prequel. One is supposed to be a sequel, but there's the one guy in the movie. He plays one of the war boys, the bald guys with the white. They're all painted white or whatever. He was in Warm Bodies, and he was in X-Men Apocalypse. Sorry, is X-Men Apocalypse, but was in X-Men Days of Future Past as the Beast. It's like, okay, this guy's bald in the movie. It's like everybody in this movie was freaking willing to do stuff like shave their freaking heads. Charlize Theron shaves her freaking head.
Yep, sorry, that's one thing you can't get me to do right now.
Well, that's not something I would be doing either, but for a good cause, if I was getting paid however millions of dollars that these people get paid for this sort of thing, I would do it.
Yeah,
Maybe.
I mean, if I was in their role, okay, I'd do it. So, this movie is chock full of little things, like layers of stuff that are all interplaying with other stuff. And there's, okay, do you remember the first movie? The bad guy. I can't remember the bad guy, which one it was. But he's in this movie as well.
Really?
Trying to remember his name. Trying to find his character. Hugh Keyes Byrne. Yeah, that's him.
Okay, I'm thinking names here. I can't.
Toe Cutter, that was his name in the first Mad Max movie.
Okay.
Toe Cutter was the one main bad guy that Mad Max ended up going against.
Was he Toe Cutter again in this one?
No, in this movie he plays Immortan Joe. Hmm. Immortan Joe, that's it. He's been played in a bunch of movies. I don't know I've ever seen any of these movies, but that's okay. Yeah, I don't see him in any of the movie except Mad Max and Mad Max. But he plays the main bad guy that's wearing the skull face and everything like that. It's pretty cool. Oh, and now I'm seeing a comparison of his picture in that one and his picture in the other movie. In the first Mad Max movie, do you remember the guy who kills Mad Max's wife?
Yes.
That's him.
Okay.
Crazy, kind of chubby guy with the white schlock of hair on his top of his hair, and he's dirty and filthy looking.
Yeah,
that guy.
Gotcha.
So we're talking about the difference of like 30 years for a movie. Sorry, is it 30 years? When did Mad Max come out? 1979, 2013. Yeah, almost 30 years.
Wow.
That's pretty good bookending for a career in a movie series. That's probably going to get him any kind of movie else he wants now after that.
For sure.
It's like, he's awesome. The great thing about this is every character in the movie, every actor, every actress was in the movie, was awesome for the character they portrayed. By the way, if you see the movie, you have to see it with the AVX sound. It makes a difference.
Does it? How?
Just the feeling of it. Like, I'm not a big 3D fan, and I loved the 3D they used in this. It wasn't originally filmed in 3D. They added the 3D afterwards. There's a couple of scenes like, whoa, Jesus, that just scared the crap out of me because it just came out like the way it did. Because normally I'm not a 3D jump kind of guy.
Right.
But they throw in little things. I love it when movies put in the little things. The little things are what makes it valuable to me as an experience to enjoy. I love this movie kind of thing. So there's like a couple of scenes where just a little thing pops out of the side and you just, Jesus, that just actually wasn't expecting that. Makes you jump. I don't know where I was going. Yes, the AVX sound. So, I mean, 3D, you can get away without watching it. It's like no big deal. But the sound, the AVX sound is just so immersive. Once you're watching the screen and you have the sound going on, it's like being in that freaking truck. It's like being in that car. It just feels like you're part of the freaking movie.
Hmm.
They put a lot of work and effort and thought and planning into how the sound works.
Now, you have to answer the question, because for those who don't know, he's Bane. But did you get the Bane feeling from him when he, you know, while he was acting?
Who was Bane?
Max.
Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. I didn't think he was Bane at all.
Yeah, he was Bane in the last Batman movie.
Okay, great. I love him better in this movie than I did in that one. I did not even make that connection to it.
Yeah, see, I was wondering if that's how it would actually come out because, you know, who he was before. And
you can understand what he says in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, he's legible. It's understandable.
Yeah.
He speaks clearly.
Cool.
One of the funniest things, you may not even notice it, but I will mention it. Spoilers! Because I just want to spoil y'all. Think about this when you're watching the movie. When does he name himself? And I'll leave that with that one. Going on to some more cool things about the movie. So, there's a men's rights activist group in the States. I personally think they're bonkers right now. Personal opinion, not necessarily shared by everybody either in the world or connected to the show or in any way connected to the radio station. My personal opinion. They're floating around the idea that this movie has a feminist agenda meant to emasculate men.
How do they figure that?
I have no idea. I've seen the movie. I don't think they have. So here's one of the really cool things. Feminists, different swaths of feminists, whatever, the normal people who feminists is like saying, we need to make sure that women are treated equally and blah, blah, blah. That fully support this movie, because guess what? This movie is not about boy rescues girl. This is about a bunch of people, some of whom are guys and some of whom are girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Hmm.
And I will still say this was a better love story than Twilight, because there's no love story in the whole movie.
Okay, good. Okay. I'll take your word on that, because I'm not watching Twinkles. You're just not going to convince me to watch that.
You know I've never seen Twinkles, right?
Yeah, I know, but you keep hinting at it, and I'm not watching it.
No, I'm using the meme. I'm using meme language. But no, the movie is good because it stars Charlize Theron as a strong female character who's just trying to protect a group of people that she wants to protect.
But right? She's a good, strong character.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you can believe that this character, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in this movie, it's an immersive thing. They're in their character, and they play their character the way that their character should be played, as a strong and intense environment. I can't keep saying that's all these things as much as I could, because I just love it. The movie's worth. Everybody should watch it. It's awesome. And I don't want to give away some of the best parts of the movie. Like I said, there's a lot of parts in this movie where I just bust myself out laughing.
Right.
Because they're just freaking awesomely well done. I could go on and on and on about every single scene in this movie, and it's like, I could pinpoint all sorts of things. It's like, that's just, holy crap, look at the amount of work and effort they put into just making sure that that thing was there.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a whole bunch of homages to all the different Mad Max movies, as well as a bunch of other apocalypse-type movies in general. It's just, like I said, there's a lot of thought that went in behind this movie into creating all of the bits. And that, more than anything else, impresses the crap out of me about this movie. The action scenes are mostly, the predominance of most of the effect shots throughout this movie are real practical effects. There are people on wire. There are people on boards. There are people in cars and things that flip and explode and whatever. There's a small amount of CG. I mean, in the movie, Charlize Theron doesn't have a full arm. She has a cyborg extension from her arm,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool-looking effect, but that's not a practical effect. That's a CG effect. And then there's this whole big sandstorm thing, which is like, oh, dudes, that's just cool. Kind of know it's this one scene you're approaching. It's like, oh, man, that's neat kind of thing. Awesome. Like I said, everything in this movie is, it feels like every single thing was carefully put together, like little pieces of cards put into a big house of cards, and then they put it all together, and then it went, spam! Let's smash all of the crap out.
Wow.
And it just worked.
Well, for those who want to know, the next Mad Max movie is going to be called The Wasteland.
I wonder why.
Hmm.
But you know what's even funnier?
What's that?
The whole movie was filmed in Namibia.
I have no idea where that is.
Africa.
Oh, okay. I do know where that is.
Yes.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, I thought it was like, holy jeez, this was filmed in Australia again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'm watching the credits like, wait a sec, that says Namibia.
Hmm.
Namibia is in Africa. Ooh, I guess it was cheaper to do it there.
Well, I mean, because you could, well, I don't know. I mean, between the desert wastelands, I guess, but you know, for the way they want it to look, I don't know, you could probably do both.
I'm sure that it was a lot cheaper to get people to act, because there are scenes where there are hundreds, thousands of people in the movie. I'm pretty sure it would have been cheaper to do it in Namibia than it would be in Australia. Because in Australia, they have a large desert wasteland in the central continent. So it's like there's a lot of space to do it, but you got to get people to shave all their heads, because there's a lot of people with shaved heads in this movie.
Wow. And was there meaning behind the shaved head?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There is. They explain it. I'm not. Actually, they don't explain it. It just happens.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I laugh my ass off every time they're saying about going to the halls of the Valkyrie. It's like, where the hell would you come up with Norse mythology to justify a following like this amongst the middle of the freaking desert? It was just weird. But I loved it. I have to go see this movie again. I'm just saying. Yeah, it's this. Yeah.
It sounds like it's gonna. Well, okay.
See now, did I give much away on this movie?
No.
See.
Now I would say would they do good this coming up weekend and take over the spot? It would be the question I would ask, but there's another movie coming out this weekend that could maybe give it competition again.
Poof on them.
Yeah, the remake of Poltergeist is coming out this Friday.
Nah, it's gonna suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's gonna suck.
In the previews, I see a lot of similarities from the last movie. I mean, from the very first Poltergeist movie. The clown scenes look like they're more of the jump scare scenes.
Yep, and that's going to suck.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What?
Rotten Tomatoes? Do you know what the rating they gave Mad Max Fury Road?
What?
98%.
Wow.
That's an awesome rating for them.
That's pretty good.
And 92% of an audience score liked it. And that's out of 52,000 people? It's like, yeah.
Mm.
It's that kind of movie, man. Okay, so here we go. Top box office for this year so far. They got Pitch Perfect 2. Sorry, this week. Pitch Perfect 2, Mad Max, and then Avengers. And that's for the past weekend. And it just pisses me off that Pitch Perfect got that much.
I see. I don't understand that.
And let's see their rating for Pitch Perfect 2. Oh, 68%. Ooh, icky.
See, Pitch Perfect. You know, I think it was Jack said in the chat room that, or Keenan. I don't remember which one did that. It was a family film, but no.
It's a date film.
Well, it's definitely not one for children. There's a lot of sexual innuendo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Jack and Keenan were saying that. But yeah, actually, I'm surprised at the Rotten Tomatoes rating for Age of Ultron as well.
What do they got there?
74%.
Really?
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I feel about the difference between the two movies. Hands over feet. Mad Max is, like, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers was like, okay, well, that's okay. It was a worth-watching kind of movie, but it wasn't like fantastic, awesome, over-the-top, hey, this is just, like, super cool.
Yeah. We'll have to watch and see. I think you're going to hopefully see a turnaround. Definitely Pitch Perfect's not going to be taking a number one spot again.
Oh, it better not be. I'm going to be checking it out every weekend saying, go pitch! No pitches.
Get the pitch out of here.
Get those pitches the pitch out of here. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say about that crap.
I know something you should be saying.
What?
Buy your book.
Everybody should buy my book, Separate and Succinct, Disparate and Distinct. Poetry for the horror people. Scary stuff. Kind of not scary stuff, but kind of poetic stuff. Stuff that kind of isn't kind of rough, but kind of does rhyme sometimes.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, something was really... No, we already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl trailer, we talked about that last weekend.
Yes, we did. I did see it finally, and I did laugh about some parts of it.
It was bad!
But then again, it's a TV series, and I guess that's what you kind of expect. But what the heck is wrong with... God, I forgot her name now.
Allie McBeal is a total pitch.
Yeah, dude, what's up with her face?
Plastic surgery, man.
That is horrible.
Meh, she's trying to go for the Joan Rivers look.
She kind of looks like a puppet in Master Puppets.
We're not going into that one. She's just nasty. But I liked her. And I like her in general as an actress. I think she's hilarious. But it is that time in the show where I have to go and say, thanks everybody for coming and spending this 1 hour time with us, or 10 minutes or 50 minutes or however many minutes you spent with us in this time as we discussed these things, and as I go and rant and say these weird things, and I go and keep with the go in the, at the mouth and go and talk, because I like to talk, because when I talk, I feel happy, and when I'm happy, I like to try and bring other people happy, and when I bring other people happy, I bring brightness, and brightness bringing to everybody is fun. Buy my book, Separate and Distinct, Disparate and Distinct, whenever you can, however you can, wherever you can, online, and all that other fun stuff and whatever. And if you're ever in the Toronto area, I will tell you where to go and meet me, and I will actually sign your book for you if you do, because I like to do that. Come back again every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time, depending on whichever method of methodology you use to concern with the time and all that other meantime stuff. And 9 o'clock every night, Wednesdays, After Rot. Have yourself an After Rot and good time.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.